Prayer this week, thank you for sparing Terry's life and that he's doing well, and just continue to speed his recovery now. And thank you that Lori's uncle is doing well also. Thank you for working in this passport situation, and pray you just continue to bless that and meet that need. And Lord, thank you that you helped the McGee's to sell their house this week in really a miraculous way. And I just thank you for how you've provided for them. Continue to guide and direct, and as they seek your will about the store and about buying a home and all of these things, and may your will be very clear to them. Pray for the Armstrongs as they are seeking your will about moving this direction. Pray that you would open and close doors, make your will very obvious to them also. And do pray for Dory and Adam as they've moved back to Massachusetts now looking for a church. Lord, this is a crucial matter in their lives, and I pray that you'd help them to find a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-practicing church. And pray that you just really direct them and help them in this time. And do pray for those who've lost loved ones this week. Think of the Bakers as Rick's father passed away. And Lord, pray you just really minister now to that family, for the Manus family as LaDonna passed away unexpectedly. And God, pray you'd work in that family also. And do also pray for Ralph Little with these blood clots and some serious physical needs. And facing heart surgery, we pray that you'd guide the doctors there. For Judy, as she's broken her ankle and needs a touch of healing, pray you'd work in her life. And for Joseph, as he's torn this ligament in his leg, Lord, pray that you would just touch him and guide the doctors there. Pray that you just work in all three of the sailors' sons' hearts and draw them to yourself, and help Johnny and Jan as they interact with them to have wisdom and know what to say and how to say it, and that these three boys might come back to you. And Lord, just work in their hearts, we pray. And Lord, ask you to bless our time together this morning as we study this very practical topic. Help it to speak to our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 20. Thank you, sir. What did we talk about last week? I asked you, are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? Well, what were you this week? Confession is, maybe we ought to just line up and have confession this morning, and I'll forgive all of you for your troublemaking. My daughter Hannah has never seen the Harlem Globetrotters, and she wanted to go see them Monday night, and so my wife and I took her to see the Harlem Globetrotters, and it was, we had a good time. It was fun. You don't go to see a basketball game, you go to see entertainment, and they were a lot of fun. It was neat. Coming out, of course, we came out of the lower parking lot there at Liberty Bell, and there's a big hill you have to come up, and of course the traffic is bumper to bumper, and we're pulling along, and my wife said, she kept going, I have permanent imprints on my dash from my wife's fingers. Maybe some of you wives like that. And she said, you're following too close. And I didn't say anything. And we continued up the hill. And once again, you're getting too close. What if they went backwards when they started forward, you know, down, you know, because they're on the steep hill and things. And you know, being the spiritual person that I am, I said in a kind, gentle way, would you like to drive? Well, needless to say, that was not the right response. That was being a troublemaker. And by the way, and we're going to talk about this some more today, what was the root cause of that response?
Pride.
Sure, pride. That's exactly right. It's not my fault. The wife which thou gavest me. Yeah, your wife's not here, buddy. You get it. By the way, what would have been the right response? Now, whether I was following too close or not, what would have been the loving response? Thank you for helping me not get an accident and back off. I mean, if my driving was making her nervous, what should I have done? I should have backed off and not tried to get closer, you know. Oh, I can get a whole lot closer to that. Yes, ma'am. Your car, I can't afford a car like yours. Their car does it automatically, you know. You're going to get so close and it just stops, you know. Now, again, showing my great spirituality, it only took me till Wednesday to go to my wife and say, you know what, I was wrong. I am sorry. I should not have done that. Simple matter of fact is we are faced with situations every day of our life where we have to make a choice. Am I going to make this situation worse or am I going to make it better? And you know, the simple truth is you have the power to do either. You really do. Your response determines whether the situation is going to be made better or worse. And that's exactly what we're studying in 2 Samuel chapter 20. And I want to encourage you again today, folks, that we as believers should be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And in your home, in your place of employment, in your community, in your family, your job is to be a peacemaker. It really is. Now, to be a peacemaker, you have got to, if pride is the root of the problem, then you must be what to be a peacemaker? You must be humble. You must be willing to humble yourself and say, you know what? Hey, my driving is bothering you, I'll change how I drive. Okay? As we look today, we're going to see there was no humility. It was all pride, and all kinds of terrible things happened. Well, let's review a little bit, then we'll move ahead. Number one, we saw the record of their pride in chapter 19, 40 through 43. And for those that have not been here, just let me recap it real quickly. King David is coming back to Jerusalem. He's coming back across the Jordan. The Israelites, the 10 tribes of Israel, the northern tribes, wanted to welcome him back. But unbeknownst to them, the two southern tribes, the tribe of Judah, had set about to bring him back on their own. And so they escorted David back across the Jordan toward Jerusalem, and the 10 tribes of Israel were not there, and they were very upset about it. So you should have asked us about when to bring him back. You should have let us know that this was going on. So there's the description of the king's return. There was this great disagreement, and both sides showed great pride. Again, and this is a verse we all ought to memorize, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride, Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. If you've got contention, hallelujah, you got pride. It's there. This is the word of God, okay? You say, well, it's my personality. Well, it's my upbringing. Well, it's my wife, you know, or it's my husband. No, it's pride, okay? The root cause is pride. And that's exactly here. And my, how petty pride can be. I just gave you a great illustration of that in my own life. Talk about petty. Here, I've been married for 30 years, we have a disagreement about, because I can't handle the way she's driving from the other side. I could get one of those driver's training cars that has two steering wheels and two brakes. You know, we could do that, maybe. We'd have serious trouble then, wouldn't you? Pride, you know, here, if you are proud, what's God going to do? He's going to humble you. Isn't that something? It says in 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What do we want to do? We want to exalt ourselves, and that's pride. And when we do that, God says, okay, buddy, I'm taking you down. If we will humble ourselves, then he will lift us up. Well, I want to do this in the church and they won't let me, or I don't want to do that and they made me, okay? Humble yourself, let the Lord exalt you. Instead of trying to exalt yourself, okay? Exalt yourself and you're in big trouble. And that's, these folks, look, These folks were full of pride. Okay? And y'all looking at me like, we never have that problem. We all deal with it all the time. Now, when the tribes of Israel accused the people of Judah, the people of Judah could have said, yes, you know what? You're right. We blew it. We're sorry. Again, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That'd be another great verse to memorize. A soft answer turneth away wrath. By the way, I do want you to know, when I responded to my wife, it was very soft. It really was. I said, would you like to drive? I mean, it wasn't vindictive. It wasn't loud. It wasn't bombastic. It was very soft, but I don't think it's quite like what Proverbs meant. That's right. Would you like to eat next week? That's right. So there's the record of the jealousy and of the pride, and we saw that really last week. Now, the results of the pride, and this is our number one, division by the Israelites. And so because of this, in chapter 20, we see this guy named Sheba, who was a man of Belial, okay? That means he was worthless and without profit. He stands up and he, again, instead of trying to make peace, he said, you know what? You guys need to follow me. We're going to split off from Judah. We're going to go in our own way. And again, I read to you Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. One of the six or seven things that God hates in Proverbs 6:19 is he that soweth discord among the brethren. And by the way, let me just stop here. Now, we've talked about this. I'm going to get to the new stuff here in a second. But let me encourage you. We've talked about being a peacemaker at home and in the workplace and your community. I hope you're a peacemaker in the church. When people come to you and they say, can you believe what that Sunday school teacher said? Can you believe what that pastor did? I hope that as a believer, you're a peacemaker. That you don't say, well, you know what? You're right. That was a blow. What's wrong with that guy? I hope you're a peacemaker. I tell you what, why do church splits happen? I was visiting someone this week, and they talked about their church had split, and now they were going to another church, and or maybe the split, I don't remember. Why did that happen? Because there weren't any peacemakers in the church. And no one stopped it from happening, and so the church split. Happens all the time. Someone was sowing discord among the brethren. Did you hear what the deacon board did, Nick? Can you believe that? Did you hear what they voted on? What a stupid thing. What are they thinking about? And then Nick goes to somebody else, and he said, did you hear what so-and-so told me that they did this? Can you believe that? And they go to somebody else, and before long, you've got division in the church. This ought not to be. And if somebody comes to you and said, boy, can you believe what Pastor Jody did? You know what you ought to do? Hey, you know what? Let's go talk to Pastor Jody about that. See what they do, by the way. Oh, well, I wasn't ready. Okay. We ought to be peacemakers. By the way, I need to practice what I preach. Okay? If people come to me, well, you know, you're an assistant. You've got the ear of the pastor. By the way, if you have a problem with the pastor, you ought to go to the pastor. I had somebody come to me this last Tuesday night. I teach in this school of the Bible. And I had taught the week before, and I was just trying to give an illustration, and I had mentioned the man by name in our church. And it really bothered her. And she came to me Tuesday night after I taught, and she said, last week when you taught, you said this about this man, and it really bothered me. And I said, you know what? You're right. I should not have used his name. I mean, it was really in his favor. It was a man in our church who rides one of our buses. That is very poor, and I was trying to illustrate in James that you treat everybody the same. And I said, when this guy comes in, we need to be kind to him like everybody else. And that bothered her. And I said, you know, you're right. I said, I'm so glad you came to talk to me. I said, you were upset about it. If you hadn't, it would have continued to fester and get worse and worse and worse. And before long, we'd have real trouble. I said, thank you for coming and talking to me, and I'm sorry. And I talked to my wife about it later on, and she said, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have used his name. That's how you ought to handle problems. Okay? Be a peacemaker. And I'll be honest with you. I hadn't planned to say any of that. But that may be the thing that saves our church from division. Will there be times you disagree with the pastor? Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. Sometimes it doesn't really matter. Okay? If it doesn't matter, let it go and don't talk about it. Sometimes it does matter. If it does, go talk to him. If you have a problem with something I do, go talk to my wife. She'll straighten me out. She'll take care of it. All right. Division. Division. Secondly, dispute. They went to war over this thing, okay? Now, this is a process, by the way. This is the process of pride. First, there's division, hurt feelings. We got people going opposite directions. Secondly, it leads to a war. And oh my, isn't that true? Some of you say, yeah, I was there this week in my home. It'll happen. If you don't kill the pride, it leads to division, which leads to dispute and a war. And so David says, all right, he goes to Amasa. And let's read some of this here in chapter 20, verse 3. David came to his house at Jerusalem. The king, verse 4, excuse me. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. Now, who was Amasa? Do you remember? He was actually David's nephew, but he was and one of his leaders. But when Absalom had rebelled, he had taken Amasa and made him leader of his rebel army. So this is the guy that led the rebel army. And you remember when, because Joab killed Absalom when he wasn't supposed to, David had taken Amasa and put him in charge of the army. And he says to Amasa, now look, things are bad. We need to get an army and take care of this Sheba fella. Okay? So that's the setting. So let's see what happens here. So in verse 5, he tarried longer. David said, do it in 3 days. It didn't happen. So, and by the way, why do you think he had a hard time raising an army of Judah? That's exactly right. He was the general of the wrong side. He was the traitor. He was the guy that led the army that was fighting against them. And now he comes to the army he was fighting against and said, hey guys, come and fight with me. You know, and they said, no way, we're not coming. And so in verse 6, David said to Abishai, this is the brother of Joab, another of his generals, now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do, that's a good name for this guy who's causing trouble, he's a bicker, you know, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants, pursue after him, lest he get fenced cities and escape us. And there went out after him Joab's men, that's interesting. These guys that wouldn't follow Amasa, they follow him, Joab's men, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the men of Bichri. So here we got this army going after the other army. We got big time trouble. We got a war going on. Now look, folks, simple matter of fact is, when we fail to handle things in the right way and we allow the contention to continue, we're going to have a war. Again, only by pride cometh contention. And, you know, the simple matter of fact is, why do people go to war? Well, it may be to defend yourself, but why do the other people come? What's the deal? Why do people go to war? Some of you guys have been in the war. Disagreements, what else? Disagreements about what? Maybe about land. Hey, this land belongs to me. I want this land. It's all about stuff, isn't it? It's all about stuff. It's all about, we deserve this. We need to have this. This is for, we need this stuff. And again, it's all about pride, isn't it? A wrong view of ourselves. And we go to get something that doesn't belong to us, but we're going to fight about it so we can get it. Now, in James chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, ye lust and desire to have. Now, what does that mean? Excuse me. Ye lust and have not. What is the word lust? Give me a synonym. Want or desire. There you go. Desire. He said, look, you have these desires, but you don't have what you want. And so, he said, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Instead of asking God for something, they're going to fight, they're going to battle. There's going to be this great dispute going on. So we got division, we got dispute. Now, thirdly, we've got death. All right, let's continue with the story and see what happens here. In verse 8, when they were at the great stone, which is at Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof, and as he went forth it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. Okay, that sounds all good, doesn't it? I mean, not in the way they do it today, but this is the old Jewish way, and they would get a hold of him, and I guess they would hold their beard and pull him close, and they kiss him on the cheek, not on the lips, whatever. And so Amasa's thinking, hey, everything's great between Joab and me. This is good stuff. Well, what happens? In verse 10, but Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's, obviously his left hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, shed out his bowels to the ground, struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba and the son of Bichri. So what happens? By the way, I've come up with, I don't see many guys with beard. Russ has one here. This is why, you've got a little small one there, but I can't hardly grab that. This is why you shouldn't grow beards, men, because, you know, they can grab your beard and kill you. So keep it short, Eddie, keep it short. You know, yesterday morning, David, when he fought the lion, he said he grabbed the lion by the beard and he killed him. So this is a theme in Scripture, okay? This is good preaching here. Somebody tell Todd Harless that, okay? No, I'm just kidding. So, that's exactly right. There we go. I'm sorry. Yeah, the one guy with the beards I was upset about. This, right. David, if I was a real man and could grow one, I would too, but you know how it is. All right. So, that was just a footnote there of deep theology that I know would help you a whole lot. So, but the simple matter, the whole point of this is, how did this start? Okay, it ended in death. But what was the foundation of this whole problem? Where did it start? What did it start with? Pride. Now you say, Seaman, what's the point? See, we think of our pride and we think, you know what, it's not really that big a deal. It's not going to hurt anybody. Well, yeah, it's caused a little division. I mean, we got a little problem over here. But I tell you what, folks, pride, if unchecked and continued to grow, can lead to death. It happens all the time. You read about it all the time. Rick, when you work at the prison, you're dealing with all kinds of men, and I don't know if you have women in your prison or not, just men. Why are they there? Pride. They said, you know what? That I deserve that car, but I'm going to go steal it, or I deserve that, I'm going to go kill that guy to get it. See? It's all a matter of pride. In James 1:15, it says, then when lust, there's that desire, hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Happens all the time. You say, well, you know, this is no big deal. I just have this desire, but I'm not going to quench it or squelch it. I'm just going to let it go. And no, it continues to build. It continues to build. And the simple matter of fact is, he's saying, look, the natural outgrowth of the physical union between a man and a woman is a child. And that's the natural process. That's what's going to happen. And he said the natural process of leaving your lusts unchecked is they will continue to get worse and worse, and it can lead to sin, and sin leads to death. By the way, death is separation. Separation from the body, from the soul. Separation of the soul from God. Separation of families. See, if we leave it unchecked. I looked last night as I was finishing studying on Yahoo and just scrolled down through all the stories, and it wasn't long before I found this one. Beverly No was ordered held without bond after being charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder in the deaths of 20-year-old Wendy Camp, Camp's 6-year-old daughter Cynthia Brito, and Camp's 22-year-old sister-in-law Lisa Krager. Investigators allege that No, 67, of the central Oklahoma town of Bristow, killed Camp because she feared Camp would take her young grandson, Jonathan No, away from her. No wanted custody of the boy, according to the probable cause affidavit. So she killed three people. What's the root cause of that? Pride. I deserve to have that boy. And you read those in the news every day. So death occurs. This is not the only death. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter because there's 13 verses and I've only got like 7 minutes. Let me tell you the story. The instigator for this rebellion, of course, is Sheba. And he runs to a city, gets inside the city. Joab and all the army shows up. And they're beginning to attack the city. And there is what the Word of God calls a wise woman in the city. And let's kind of pick up the story there. In verse 16 it says she's a wise woman. And she cries out to Joab, says, "Come near hither that I may speak with thee." And when he came near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" He answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, "They that were wont in old spoke of old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel." And so the end of the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. By the way, we're looking at troublemakers and peacemakers. What's this lady? She's a peacemaker. Her city's about to be destroyed. Okay? Now, I don't know that I recommend being a peacemaker the way she's going to be, but we'll see that because of that, the city wasn't destroyed. And so, and down in verse 21, Joab says, "The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." The woman said unto Joab, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall." That's what I'm talking about. I don't know, John, I'm not recommending that. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom. They cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, cast it out to Joab. He blew a trumpet. They retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. So here's Sheba, the man of pride, the man who leads the rebellion. What happens to him? Same thing. Death, he loses his life. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Now, let me conclude. Two things, two applications. Number one, are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? Okay? Second thing, are you allowing pride to rule your life, or are you trying to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Pride causes division, causes dispute, and causes death. It is that serious. And every person in this room struggles with pride. You say, "Well, no, I'm just nobody. I don't care." That's false pride, okay? And I want to encourage all of us to get a right view of ourselves. You know, you think about it, what are we really? What do we really deserve? We're just sinners saved by grace. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve eternal torment. That's what we deserve. And when an occurrence happens in our life, and it will probably happen to you this week at some point, and you say, "Man, I didn't deserve that." Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, I did. We deserved a whole lot worse. It's just by the grace of God we don't have what we deserve. And when contention comes in your life this week, I would encourage you to humble yourself and be a peacemaker, no matter what the situation. Now, I know there are times that we need to take a stand for God, a stand for truth, a stand for right. I know that. And by the way, there's a right way and a wrong way to do that too, isn't there? And I'm not saying, well, you know, I'm not going to confront anybody with the truth because it will cause trouble. I mean, we're commanded to do that in the right way. But most of our problems, folks, is that we let pride rule our heart. And when pride rules our heart, it's going to bring division and dissension. And if it's left unchecked, it will lead to separation. Now, I really had only intended to spend 1 week on this lesson, but it may be that we needed to hear this twice. Because again, your home and the unity of your home depends upon you being humble and being a peacemaker and giving a soft answer. And being a and not being a troublemaker in the home. It depends on it. You say, well, Gary, I'm going to do that, but she won't. Well, you just keep doing it. You just keep sowing seeds of peace. You just keep doing it. Or you say, I'm going to do that in my home, but he won't. You just keep doing it. You know, we are not responsible for how our mate responds. But we are responsible about how we respond. And God calls us to love and to love and to love and to love and to love. God calls us to be peacemakers and peacemakers and peacemakers. If they don't respond correctly, that's not your fault. If you did it the right way, you continue to be a peacemaker. Okay? All right. Lord, pray that you would help us this week to be peacemakers, to be humble. God, that you might make us what we ought to be. Oh, how we need your help, Lord. How we need your help. That we might not cause division, but that we might have peace in our homes, in our church, in our workplaces, in our families. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you go, let me get the total.